All right, recording has begun. Thank you very much. I will call to order now the February 14, 2023 Thurston County Land Use Hearing Calendar. Thank you for being here with me today. My name is Sharon Rice. I am an attorney who works as hearing examiner on contract with 10 cities and counties. I've been appointed by Thurston County to provide that professional service. Pursuant to that appointment, I have jurisdiction to hear and to decide the items on today's agenda. Here at 11 o'clock, we are considering the plat of Pleasant Glade. This is project 2017-102-729. This proposal would subdivide real property located at 4611 20th Way Northeast, unincorporated Thurston County. Anyone who needs to get my attention as we go forward in today's virtual meeting, please, you may call me Examiner Rice or Ms. Rice. If anyone else has a request about how they should be addressed, please do let us know when you testify. Of course, today's virtual hearing is being conducted on Zoom, and the Zoom platform is making a recording of this meeting, which will be part of the required legal record that will follow this application for its full decision-making life. I need to make sure that all testimony that is provided today is perfectly audible and clear. And I will ask, you already are, but please do continue to keep your audio muted when you are not testifying. When you do testify, it will be most helpful if your cell phones can be silenced or any other noise-making devices in your environment can be silenced. Make sure we can hear everything you have to say so I don't have to ask you to repeat anything. Of course, although we are meeting virtually, it is a legal proceeding that is being conducted here today, and we do need to treat it as such. I will ask folks to testify one at a time. The first time you speak, I will ask you please to state and spell your name for the audio recording, and then tell me how you are related to the case. And then I will ask that you please take an oath to tell the truth before you begin to provide testimony. We do want to let folks know that in land use hearings, the Washington State Appearance of Fairness Doctrine does apply. That doctrine requires the decision maker to be free from bias or prejudice regarding the matter. And so I will make the following disclosures for the record and for your information. Again, I work on contract for Thurston and 9 other local governments. I do not own any property or have any family or friends who own property anywhere near the subject property, and I have not had conversations with anyone, not applicant, not staff, not members of the public, regarding the merits of this proposal. Because those facts are true and because this is my line of work for the last 20 years, I believe I'm capable of issuing an impartial decision in this application. You should know that the Washington State Appearance of Fairness law requires anyone who thinks they have grounds to challenge my impartiality to raise that challenge at their first opportunity. And so if that's you, that would be your testimony here today. Of course, in an application for land development, the applicant is the party that bears the burden of proof. This legal term simply means it's the applicant's job to provide evidence that demonstrates compliance with the requested permit criteria for approval and all applicable development standards. Despite the fact that the burden belongs to the applicant, in Thurston County, we do hear from county staff first. That's because they are typically more familiar both with the code requirements that apply and also with the hearing process, and it's a typical manner of handling land use hearings throughout Washington state. So as we begin, I expect I will hear testimony from county staff first. I do have questions for county staff members. After that, we'll hear from the applicant, and the applicant has the opportunity and responsibility to, during their presentation, make sure that all evidence is brought to my attention that is necessary to demonstrate compliance with permit criteria for approval. You can add to or supplement or challenge anything staff has said during their presentation. I will have questions for applicants. After that, I will go for public comments. And currently it says we have 0 attendees, and I know we aren't expecting an avalanche of public participation today, but we will check at that point and see if we have any members of the public who wish to testify who are in the meeting. If yes, the parties will have a chance to respond today, both staff and applicant. And at the end of those responses, we typically close the record. I take the material under advisement and I issue a written decision, which is required to be issued by me to the county 10 business days from the close of the record. Please know, in virtual hearings, where I conduct them throughout the state, it is my practice to hold the record open briefly at the end of the hearing for the purpose of allowing post-hearing written public comment from members of the public who attempted to join or desired to join this meeting but lacked technology or had technology interruptions that prevented them from participating. That is a brief period, which by which I mean 2 business days. So when we're done today, at the end of the hearing, the record will be held open 2 business days to allow for post-hearing written public comment. And if we receive any timely post-hearing written public comment, both staff and the applicants will also have 2 business days to respond in writing. Because that creates a bit of a graduated schedule, I will go over that post-hearing calendar and give you those exact dates at the end of this meeting. And when we sign off, I will email that schedule in writing to the hearing clerk. She will forward it to the parties and will cause it to be posted online. I believe that constitutes everything you need to know to get started. I just want to say I was provided with a packet of information so I can prepare to conduct an efficient hearing here today. And for the record, I will announce those documents. The first document is the staff report of the Community Planning and Economic Development Department to the examiner. It will be Exhibit 1. Attached to Exhibit 1 and spelled out in great detail on pages 20 and 21 of that document, the staff report, there are attachments A through Z and AA through II. I'm not going to read that list into the record. It is spelled out in detail there in the attached or in the staff report. I did have a chance to review those documents. They are admitted. With that, I am ready to hear county staff presentation. If I could please ask the planner to demonstrate what I mean, please unmute, state and spell your name for the record, give us your title, and allow me to swear you in.
Heather Tchaikovsky, HEATHERTSCHAEKOFSKE, Associate Planner and Biologist with Community Planning.
Thank you very much. Thanks for raising your hand to take the oath. Do you swear or affirm that your testimony will be true? If so, please say I do.
I do.
Ms. Tchaikovsky, please go ahead.
All right. We are here for Project 2017-102-729. This is a permit for a preliminary plat. The applicant is Eldon B. Stanton Incorporated, represented by Chris Kramer. The applicant requests preliminary plat approval to subdivide a 5.6-acre parcel into 16 single-family residential lots with 1.5 acres of open space. A proposed public road extending from 20th Way Northeast will run southerly and end in a cul-de-sac to provide access to the proposed subdivision. The development will extend City of Lacey sanitary sewer and water utilities from 20th Way Northeast. The smallest proposed lot is 7,500 square feet, and the average lot size is 7,842 square feet. 7 total tracts are proposed. Tracts A and B are for future right-of-way. Tracts E and D are for open space, with tract E also for stormwater. And tracts C, F, and G are set aside for wetland buffers. See attachment H. Tracts C and D also function to screen the proposed lots from bordering incompatible uses. Soil survey was conducted by Insight Geologic, attachment L, to support infiltration on site. For most of the individual lots, dry wells are proposed. For those lots with fill, infiltration BMPs are not feasible, and those roof areas will be collected and directed to the infiltration pond. The city streets will have a stormwater collection system that will also send water to the ponds for treatment and infiltration. See preliminary drainage report, attachment K. The subject property is within the City of Lacey urban growth area and is zoned low density residential district LD 0-4. The surrounding zoning consists of low density residential 0-4, low density residential 3-6, and open space institutional, attachment B. The 5.66-acre site is situated at the end of 20th Way Northeast, directly east of the Pleasant Glade Elementary School. The site is currently mostly undeveloped with only a sewer lift station along the west property line. 20th Way Northeast is improved up to the west property line where a temporary cul-de-sac resides. The site generally slopes to the east. The property is partially forested and is currently designated as Lot 1 of Stanton Short Plat SS18-114343, Attachment S. There is a wetland to the east and north of the project area. ACERA completed a wetland delineation report, Attachment FF, and the delineation flags have been survey located and appropriate buffers applied. Offsite wetlands A and B were delineated as Category 4 wetlands with standard wetland buffers of 160 feet each. Both wetland buffers encroach onto the subject property. Portions of the 160-foot buffer have been averaged to accommodate lot configuration, subsequent to several redesigns and reductions in the total lots proposed, per TCC 24.30.060. A conservation tract agreement will be recorded to protect the necessary wetland buffer areas on the adjacent Lot 2 of the Stanton Short Plat title prior to final plat recording, since the short subdivision was mistakenly recorded with the reduced wetland buffer shown. Attachment S. The proposed stormwater treatment facility is located within the outer 25% of the wetland B 160-foot wetland buffer. TCC 24.30.050A allows encroachment into the outer 25% of the wetland buffer for stormwater facilities under certain criteria, which the applicant has met. See attachments L and U. The subject parcel is also mapped within a Category 2 critical aquifer recharge area. Environmental health, sanitary code, and related policies correspond with the requirements outlined for critical aquifer recharge areas with respect to septic systems, wells, and hazardous material handling. Written notice of the application was sent to all property owners within 300 feet of the site on August 2nd, 2017, attachment P. Notice of the public hearing was published in the Olympian on February 3rd, 2023, and was sent to all property owners within 300 feet of the site and to others who had requested notice at least 10 days prior to the hearing, attachment A. A mitigated determination of non-significance was issued on December 16, 2022, attachment EE. The environmental determination became final on January 6, 2023. The LD 0 to 4 zone permits single-family detached dwellings per TCC 21.12.020, and the base density for this district is a maximum of 4 dwelling units per acre, with no minimum density, which also corresponds to the Lacey-Thurston County Joint Comprehensive Plan designation. The proposed density of this project is 2.83 dwelling units per acre. In the LD 0 to 4 zoning district, the minimum lot size for detached single-family lots is 7,500 square feet, and the minimum lot width is 70 feet, where alleys are not provided. Minimum front yard setbacks are 16 feet or 20 feet for garages facing the street and 10 feet on front yard flanking streets. Minimum side yard setbacks are 5 feet and the minimum rear yard setback is 20 feet. Maximum building area coverage is 40% and maximum development coverage is 55% per lot. For single family residential development, a minimum of 2 parking spaces are required per lot. The proposed lot sizes and dimensions of this project comply with requirements of the LD 0 to 4 zone. At the time of building permit application, Thurston County staff will review the individual building permit applications to ensure all yard setbacks and other zoning requirements are met. Within the Lacey urban growth area, the minimum usable open space dedicated in residential subdivisions shall be 10% of the total site. Up to 50% of the open space requirements may be satisfied by wetlands, wetland buffers, other critical areas, and tree tracts in compliance with TCC 17.25. The open space area may include stormwater facilities that are designed for active and/or passive recreation opportunities. Per TCC 20.32.030, at least 30% of land dedicated for open space shall be maintained in a natural condition. The applicant has set aside a total of 1.5 acres of open space, or 26% of the entire site, The open space tracts include a stormwater retention area, wetland buffer, incompatible use landscape screening, and active and or passive recreation area. 52% of the open space area is within protected wetland buffer area that will remain in a natural condition. The stormwater pond and incompatible use screening areas meet the remaining minimum 50% of the total 10% of open space required outside of critical areas. The proposal includes a Class 4 forest lands conversion application, Attachment E. Forest practice permit and the preliminary plat application were reviewed jointly with one SEPA determination issued for the project. No tree tracts are proposed as the wetland buffers will be used to satisfy the 5% tree tract requirement. Two open space areas with retained trees will be created on the north and south sides of the lot. A total of 19 street trees are proposed for replanting, along with 4 stormwater area trees and 20 lot trees. With this plan, the minimum tree requirements on lots is exceeded by 7 trees against the 32 tree minimum for the lot area. The applicant has provided a tree protection and replacement plan that demonstrates the above standards are met within the proposed plat and forest lands conversion, attachment N. TCC 18.12.090 requires that findings be made in order to approve a preliminary plat, demonstrating appropriate provisions are made for the public health, safety, and general welfare. The Public Works Department requirements satisfy stormwater, streets, traffic safety, and road provisions for this urban area plat. A traffic impact assessment was completed, attachment I, and determined the project is anticipated to be a mild generator of traffic with approximately 21 a.m. and 28 p.m. peak hour trips. There were 28 lots proposed at the time of traffic impact assessment, and the project is now proposing 16 lots. So this is a conservative estimate under the current proposal. Traffic impact fees will be due at the time of building permit submittal. The plat must comply with the health code, thereby assuring adequate provision for domestic water supply and sanitary waste disposal. Transit service is available within the vicinity, and school children will be bused to North Thurston School District school sites as applicable. As a condition of final approval, this project shall be required to construct a safe walking route to Pleasant Glade Elementary. This safe walking route shall be reviewed and accepted by Thurston County and the North Thurston School District prior to construction, and include, at a minimum, connecting the sidewalk from the project site to the existing sidewalk on 20th Way Northeast. The open space tracts provide for storm water management, landscape screening, and critical area protections. Impact fees will provide for additional parks and recreation opportunities and will ensure that adequate school facilities are available. All findings can be met for the public health, safety, and general welfare for preliminary plat approval. Staff believes the applicant has demonstrated compliance with applicable criteria for the granting of a preliminary plat. Staff from Thurston Public Health and Social Services Department recommend approval subject to conditions, attachment X. Staff from Thurston County Public Works Department recommend approval with conditions, attachment O. The City of Lacey submitted conditions for the final plat, attachment Y. North Thurston Public School District submitted comments, attachment AA. The Department of Ecology submitted comment letters, attachment CC. The Nisqually Indian Tribe submitted comments, attachment BB. The neighboring Pleasant Acres HOA submitted public comments regarding traffic and school safety provisions, attachment DD. These provisions were addressed by the Public Works Department review. As proposed and conditioned, the application for a preliminary plat is consistent with the Thurston County Comprehensive Plan. Based on this analysis, the Community Planning and Economic Development Department concludes that the proposed project, when appropriately conditioned, meets Thurston County requirements for a preliminary plat upon hearing examiner approval.
Okay, thank you very much. Just a few questions Ms. Tchaikovsky, the notice of application was mailed in 2017. The application has a 2017 project number. It's 2023. Any testimony from your department about the delay in getting to hearing?
The project was passed to a couple different planners, and I think part of the delay was after the initial application, a determination was made that they would go from a larger, I believe it was a 10-acre lot, and that was split into two smaller parcels to divide off critical areas onto one parcel that's not subject to the current preliminary plat. So I believe some of the delay was due to that process.
The project revision itself.
Yes.
Yeah. Also another interesting thing about this proposal, in many recent projects, the forest land conversion decision has been made by the examiner. In this case, it has been made administratively, correct?
Yes.
So that's a final decision, and just curious about that change.
That's a subject of conversation that we've had recently with staff, and I think we'll need to make a process decision as to how we want to handle these, because it can be done both ways.
Yes, sure.
It is tied to the plat.
Okay. Yeah, I definitely in Thurston County Code 1725-600 gives the director, the administrator, the authority to make the decision. It's just that I know frequently I have been, so it's just different and interesting.
Do you have a preference?
Maybe question. Not in the context of this case, no. I also don't have any questions about the decision that was issued. I reviewed it and I understand the conditions of approval and the analysis. So I don't have any specific questions as to how it was handled in this case. Just curious about the process change.
Yeah.
There were comments in 2017 from an adjacent homeowners association, just confirming there are no current comments. Any no recent comments?
No, surprisingly.
Okay. Some of the reports, you in your testimony, you noticed this. Some of the reports are a little aged at this point. So I just want to confirm that the wetland mitigation proposal is from 2018, when the project was pretty different. Mm-hmm. So I just want to confirm your department finds that the delineation from 2018 is still valid and still can be relied upon.
Yeah, the delineation results are good for 5 years, and our code and the rating standards haven't changed during that time period.
Thank you very much. And I don't see that any mitigation planting per se is proposed as a result of this, which is basically a buffer averaging proposal. Do you want to provide some testimony about that, please?
For the subdivision code within critical areas, we're technically not allowed to reduce a buffer. We can only do the buffer averaging, which is just a offset of square footage. So as long as we're meeting the total square footage of impact with an additional square footage area of protection, that is considered the mitigation.
Thank you. Thank you. Ms. Tchaikovsky, I think the rest of my questions are for Public Works.
Okay.
Thank you. If I could please have the Public Works representative unmute, state and spell your name, give us your job title, and allow me to swear you in, please.
I'm Arthur Saint, A-R-T-H-U-R-S-A-I-N-T. I'm a civil engineer for the Thurston County Public Works Department.
Thank you very much. Mr. Saint, do you swear or affirm your testimony will be true? If so, please say I do.
I do.
Thanks very much. Well, and I assume these questions are for you, but I'm not 100% sure. There's a road variance request in the record. It's dated February 2018, and it has to do with variance from road and or drainage standards. It has no longer been addressed. Do you know anything about that?
Yes. The proposal is going to have more than 30 lots on a dead end on a single access point with the existing subdivision on 20th. So the new subdivision, all the homes will be sprinkled to mitigate that issue. unless a connection is not provided.
Has this variance been decided?
Yes.
Okay. 1R, is that documents? Same question for you as I had for Ms. Tchaikovsky. The traffic impact study is rather old at this point. Unlike a wetland report where some of the background facts may or may not have changed, I assume in a period of 5 years, background traffic or growth rates may have changed. Could I have testimony from you about why your department still considers this traffic impact assessment adequate?
Sure. The level of traffic study required for a project of this size does not take into any account background traffic. It's solely the traffic generated by the project itself, which has gone down obviously from the initial, but would not have changed.
Thank you very much. There are actual speed humps required in this proposal, is that right?
Yes, that was worked out by our traffic division and the adjacent neighborhood.
Okay. That's a little bit unusual, so I just wanted to have you confirm they're actually required.
Yes.
And I believe the school district was also expressing appreciation of speed humps along 20th.
Yeah, I believe so, because of they have quite a bit of traffic through there as well with the school and obviously children.
Got it. There are some recommended conditions of approval from your department that address private roads and how the county is not responsible for maintenance of private roads. But my understanding is that the only roadway proposed is public. Am I misunderstanding?
That's my understanding as well. That's just a boilerplate holdover in case that changes somehow through the process.
Okay. I don't have any other questions. Anything else you want to bring to my attention, Mr. Saint?
Not at this time, no.
Thank you very much. Ms. Tchaikovsky, before I go to the applicant, did my questions for Mr. Saint make you want to add anything else to the record before we proceed?
Nope.
Okay, great. Thank you. I'm ready to hear applicant presentation. If I could have the witness who will speak first for the applicant, please unmute, state and spell your name. Tell me how I should identify you and the findings, and then allow me to swear you in.
Yes, I'm Chris Kramer. I'm an engineer with Patrick Heron Associates. My name is spelled C-H-R-I-S-C-R-A-M-E-R, and you can call me Chris.
Thank you. I will actually call you Mr. Kramer. I hope that's all right.
Oh, sure.
I don't use first names very often in here. Do you swear or affirm your testimony will be true? If so, please say, I do.
I do.
I always tell people, let us know how you want us to address you. They always say, call me by my first name. I'm like, sorry, not going to do that.
Mr. Kramer is just fine.
All right. Mr. Kramer, please go ahead.
Heather did a very detailed presentation, so I don't have a lot to add. One of your questions I did hear about the neighborhood comment, we had a public meeting with the neighborhood, and that's where the speed bumps came out. That's what Arthur mentioned. So that was, I can't remember what year it was, but it was several years ago. So they did have a meeting. We went through all kinds of traffic calming solutions, and that was the one they, or a couple of decisions they chose to apply to this project. So I really don't have much more to add, but I'm happy to take questions.
Sure. I just have a couple for you. I just want to confirm that the county is requiring an incompatible use screening buffer. Just want to confirm the applicant does not have any objection to that requirement.
No, we've set aside track C and track D for those.
Thank you. Do you have any information or comment about the safe walk route that is being required to be provided for students who may walk to the nearby elementary school?
So we're providing on-site sidewalks on both sides of our proposed public road. We're calling it Road A, for lack of a better name. And then, yes, we would have a connection point through that temporary cul-de-sac on 20th. And that's not detailed on these plans, but will be at time of construction permit.
All right. Great. Right. So the I asked Ms. Tchaikovsky about whether or not wetland mitigation plantings were required. She said because of the nature of the subdivision, the buffer averaging actually provides one-to-one replacement of the buffer. So that's not, that's considered self-mitigating to do so. But on some of the plans, the word enhancement is used. So I'm wondering, do you plan any plantings in any of that buffer area?
No, I think maybe the enhancement term was maybe misused in that. The idea was that we were increasing the size of the, or the depth of the buffer, and that was considered the enhancement of that buffer.
Thank you. I just wanted to make sure I wasn't missing something.
Oh, no.
Do you have any questions or concerns about the recommended conditions of approval?
No, not this time.
Does anybody else from the applicant team wish to provide testimony?
Eldon, do you want to talk?
If you do, we will have to ask you to unmute. Hi there.
I'll defer all the questions to Chris.
Great. Thanks for letting us know. I don't have any other specific questions at this point for the applicants, so I believe Mr. Kramer's answered my questions.
Thank you.
Fast. Let's ask Ms. Katie, does it look like we have anybody for public comment?
We don't have any members of the public present.
All right. Anything else from county staff?
No.
Okay. Mr. Kramer, anything else before I close the record?
No, thank you.
I'm sure after 6 years of iterations, no one expected this hearing to be this quick. I didn't expect this hearing to be this quick. I thank you all for the work you did getting ready for it so that most of the questions were answered before we got here. I am going to take this evidence and your testimony under advisement. As I said at the top, even though I know we aren't expecting any post-hearing public comment, I treat all applications the same. And so I'm going to hold the record open for 2 business days. Today is the 14th. That means the record is held open through the 16th for post-hearing written public comment from members of the public who were unable to join and make comment for technology or access reasons. If anyone fits that description and gets a comment to either Ms. Sonia Katie or Ms. Tchaikovsky by February the 16th, it will be included in the record. Staff will forward it to the applicant representatives, both planning staff or the appropriate county staff, and the applicant representatives will have 2 business days to respond. Because of the legal holiday on Monday the 20th, that means the responses are due by February 21st. The record, back up, I forgot to say. If we get none, the record will close on the 16th and the 10-day decision issuance deadline becomes March 3rd. If we do receive post-hearing public comment by the 16th, staff and the applicants have through the 21st to respond. The record will close on the 21st and the decision becomes due on March 7th. And again, I know that's a lot of words and numbers, so I'm going to forward that to Ms. Katie. She can send it to you so you have it in writing for me, and we'll post it online. Thanks very much. Again, everybody take care. That concludes our hearing. It's going great. Thank you very much. I will call to order now the 1 p.m. session of the February 14th, 2023 Thurston County Land Use Hearing Calendar. Thanks for being here. My name is Sharon Rice. I am an attorney who works as a hearing examiner on contract for Thurston County and 9 other cities and counties, mostly up and down the I-5 corridor. I have been appointed by Thurston County to provide this professional service, and that appointment gives me jurisdiction to hear and to decide the items on today's agenda. And here at 1, I am considering file number 2021-106720. This is a project known as the Lee Reasonable Use Exception. It relates to a proposal to develop property addressed as 2125 113th Avenue Southwest in unincorporated Olympia, Washington. If anyone needs to get my attention today, you can call me Examiner Rice or Ms. Rice, and then I would ask that you let me know if there's a specific way you would like to be addressed when it's your turn to testify. So today's hearing is obviously being conducted virtually on the Zoom platform. Thank you for that. The Zoom platform is making a recording of this meeting, and the audio recording is actually a crucial part of the legal record. So I need to make sure all testimony is audible. It's my practice to ask people to mute their audio when they're not testifying, and that just keeps any inadvertent noise from your background from overstepping other participants' testimony. And then, of course, when you do testify, it will help if your cell phones are silenced and any other things that you can control the volume of in your environment are quiet so we can hear everything you have to say. I will be asking for people to testify one at a time in this legal hearing. And when you do, when you first speak, I will ask you to please state and spell your name for the record. And then give me the job title or the name of your role in the matter so that I can get it correct in the findings. And then after that, I will ask you to please take an oath to tell the truth. And then I will hear your testimony. A couple of other things to let you know. On a land use hearing, the decision maker is required to be free from bias or prejudice according to the State of Washington Appearance of Fairness statute. So I want to disclose the following information for you. Again, I work on contract for this government and 9 other governments. I am not a Thurston County employee. I don't have any personal, professional, familial, or other interests anywhere near the subject property. And I haven't had conversations with anyone regarding the merits of this project. Because those things are true, I'm capable of issuing an impartial decision in this application. And please know that anyone who thinks they have grounds to challenge my impartiality is required to raise that challenge at their first opportunity, which would be your testimony today. In an application for land development, the burden of proof belongs to the applicant. That's a legal term that means it's the applicant whose job it is to provide the evidence that demonstrates compliance with the criteria for approval. However, in Thurston County, I will hear from staff first. That's because staff tends to be more familiar with the requirements of the code as well as with the hearing process. So, in terms of testimony, I will first hear from planning staff. Staff will present their analysis of the application materials to me, and I will have questions for county staff. Then we'll hear from the applicant representative, and this is the applicant's opportunity to add to or correct or challenge anything staff has said in the staff report or in their testimony, and then also to bring any information to my attention that you think is needed for the for a favorable outcome. And then also I will have questions for the applicant just to clarify my understanding of the information that's been submitted. After that, I will go to the hearing clerk and check to see if we have any public comment. Right now, it looks like we have 0 members of the public in the meeting, but if any join, they will be invited to testify. And if we do get questions or comments from members of the public, I will hear answers first from staff and last from the applicant, because as the party with the burden of proof, the applicant gets the last word in these proceedings. After those responses, we would be done with testimony for today, and I will close the record and adjourn the hearing. However, please know it is my practice in virtual hearings to hold the record open for a brief period after the hearing is closed to allow for post-hearing written public comment from members of the public who tried to participate or wanted to participate but were unable to do so because they had technology or access problems. So that brief period is 2 business days. If we did receive any timely post-hearing public comment, both staff and the applicant would be invited to respond in writing on the record. So that creates a bit of a graduated decision issuance schedule, and I will announce that schedule and give you those exact dates at the end of the hearing. With that, I just want to note for the record, staff provided me with a packet so I could be prepared and conduct an efficient hearing. The first document is staff's report to the hearing examiner, and it will be Exhibit 1 for the record. Attached to Exhibit 1 are attachments A through L, L as in Lee. Those attachments are spelled out in detail on page 11 of the staff report, and I did have a chance to review all the documents, and they are admitted. With that, I am ready to hear from planning staff in this matter. If you would kindly unmute state and spell your name, give us your job title, and then allow me to swear you in.
Good morning. My name is Sharon Lumbantobing, Lumbantobing. I'm a senior planner with Thurston County Community Planning and Economic Development.
Thank you very much. If I could ask you please to raise your right hand to take the oath. Do you swear or affirm your testimony will be true? If so, please say I do.
I do.
Thank you very much and go ahead.
Thank you, Examiner Rice. So as you mentioned, this is Project 2021-106720, the Lee Reasonable Use Exception. The subject parcel is 10.95 acres, located at 2125 113th Avenue, Southwest Olympia. The applicant is requesting a reasonable use exception to construct a 1500 square foot detached unheated garage shop within a wetland buffer. The entire parcel is encumbered by a 240 foot buffer of an offsite wetland. The garage would impact 140 square feet of vegetated buffer, with the remainder of the garage sitting on previously disturbed ground. The standard 240 foot buffer is proposed to be reduced to 11 feet at the northwest corner of the garage. A 15 foot temporary construction setback is required. The applicant is requesting a 4 foot temporary construction setback. A mitigation plan is proposed to enhance 1500 square feet of the buffer adjacent to the garage. The property is currently developed with a single family residence served by an individual on-site septic and a single family well. No improvements to the existing driveway are proposed. The parcel is in the RRR15 in the rural shoreline environment of Scott Lake in rural Thurston County. The reason for the requested RUE is to allow the construction of the garage in the reduced wetland buffer beyond what is allowed in code. This project was determined to be categorically exempt from SEPA. Chapter 24.45 of the Critical Area Ordinance sets out the process and criteria for any property to apply for a reasonable use exception. There are 8 criteria that must be met in order to approve a use within a critical area or its buffer. The staff report outlines the 8 criteria and includes analysis of each criteria, and staff found that the proposal meets the criteria. The residential development is also subject to standards of the Thurston County Shoreline Master Program. The garage is proposed landward of the ordinary high water mark and meets the setback requirements, which is 50 feet from the ordinary high water mark. The current proposal is also in compliance with the impervious surface limitations within the shoreline jurisdiction, being under the maximum allowance of 30%. As proposed, the project should have no impact on the wetland itself. The mitigation plan will result in a 1-to-1 impact to enhancement mitigation ratio. And if the hearing examiner approves the application, staff has recommended conditions of approval, which are outlined in the staff report. That's all I have.
Okay, great. Just a few points of clarification and or just further information for the findings. First, on page 1 of your staff report and in your testimony, you characterized it as an off-site wetland, but I believe this is actually an on-site wetland. Isn't that right? It doesn't the wetland occupy the majority of the site?
Pardon me, let me look through. We handle many land use applications. I haven't seen this in a while. I put this
got aside. It. Just so you know, I'm at attachment E, the wetland study, and the very last page of that document shows Scott Lake and then the wetlands and the sliver of the property not encumbered by wetlands. Just want to make sure we're all looking at the
same. It could be my error. Can I take a few minutes to look through that? I'm sorry. Sure. I could have made an error. That's possible. The wetland delineation report should say that, and I may have missed that, whether it's offsite or onsite. Do you want to ask your next question and I'll research that and get back to you, whether it's an offsite or onsite? I need to look more closely.
Sure.
Apologies.
No problem. I'm just, most of the figures in the delineation report at attachment E do show the majority of the site encumbered by wetland. I think it's I think it's a cut and paste error, basically.
I believe it is. And I'm sorry. Yeah, I believe it could be.
Yeah. And that's fine. I just wanted to clarify.
Okay.
So there is an existing residence in some of the materials. It's characterized as a cabin. My question about that existing residence, which you may or may not know the answer to, is there an attached garage in that existing residence?
I believe there is not, but I will let the applicant's representative clarify that further.
Great. When we get to the applicant's case, I will ask that question again. Again, it's a understanding it's a large property, and it appears that the majority of it is encumbered by water. And then the remainder of it is encumbered by buffers required to those water features. But my question is, 1,500 square feet is a very large detached garage. It's larger than the existing residence. And I'm wondering if your department considered whether its size was reasonable in the context of a reasonable use exception.
We didn't look at that particular aspect. We usually don't. I usually don't comment on the size of the property. It's still modest in size for a structure. So we didn't look at it from that. They did specifically mention that there will be no living quarters, no bathroom, no plumbing, and no insulation. So it is to be used as a garage shop.
Okay. Of course, I'm sure, Ms. Lumentoving, you know why I'm asking these questions. The criteria for reasonable use exception require a demonstration that no lesser encroachment could result in adequate reasonable use. So I'm looking at what's the minimum, according to those criteria for RUE approval, what's the minimum encroachment that must be allowed in order to have reasonable use? And with this property already having a residence, that question becomes sort of, it needs a little bit more analysis. And so do you have anything more you can offer for me on that?
Just that we think that a garage is a reasonable pertinence to a single family home. It does have a modest home on the property, so that we felt if they wanted to have that use, it was reasonable. It's also the hearing examiner's discretion to request that it be reduced in size. So you do have that ability.
Okay. Well, and so my next question does have to do with that. The document I'm looking at, the plan figure I'm looking at, is the last page of the mitigation plan. And it's basically the same image as the last page of the delineation report. And it shows the structure, and it's obviously been sited at the end of the driveway. So you don't want to develop new driveway. So that's efficient and makes sense. It's also largely in an already cleared area, but I don't know why the shop itself couldn't be either reduced in footprint or scooted to the east in order to provide a bigger setback from the edge of the wetland. We're talking about 11 feet from the edge of a wetland.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Did your department consider that?
We're leaving this with the discretion of the hearing examiner. I don't usually, we try to let property owners develop their property within code. And so I do not feel comfortable to ask for those questions. The hearing examiner has that discretion. It's still possible to put it there on its undisturbed land. Yes, 11 feet is very, very close. Normally we wouldn't cite something there. So you do have discretion to request a reduction.
Okay. I might be mistaken, but I think 11 feet might be the smallest setback I've ever been asked to approve.
I mean, it's the smallest I've ever seen as well.
Okay. My last question for you is to help me just make sure I'm clear on this construction setback. There's a 15-foot construction setback required. And now that is required from the edge of what?
From the edge of the proposed development to the edge of the wetland buffer. It's a temporary construction setback.
So where is it? And that, in this case, 15 is required. The applicant is requesting approval of a 4-foot temporary construction setback. Where are those 4 feet? Are they closest to the building?
Yeah. So he wouldn't be able to get that on the corner where he's got 11 feet away. He could get it partially around the other parts of the building, but not the 4 foot. Not the north corner.
I'm not sure what you're saying.
He could get that 4 foot construction on the southern edge of the proposed garage, but not all the way around the garage.
So are you suggesting that what are you suggesting where the 4 foot wouldn't be possible?
It would be the shortest distance between the proposed development and the wetland buffer is 11 feet. So you wouldn't be able to get an additional 4-foot buffer on that edge. It would just have to be the 11 feet setback.
Let me take some notes about that. It's basically the northwestern corner of the structure, which is at the
correct
is the part that's that would be 11 feet.
Correct.
You're suggesting they could not have a construction setback there.
They could not.
And so it is, in your understanding, is it possible for them to build the foundation right up to the 11-foot edge of the requested buffer width?
It is possible. Is it ideal? No.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. I don't have other specific questions for you, Ms. Lubentobing. Is there anything else you want to bring to my attention?
Not at this point. Thank you.
Okay. And we did clarify it is an on-site wetland. That was just
yes.
A plant based
area. Yes. Okay. Yes. Great. Sorry, my apologies. Yes.
That's fine. Thank you very much. Let me just ask the representatives of other county departments. I don't have specific questions for either of you. Does either of you wish to add any particular information to the record? If yes, please unmute and let us know. Thank you. They're both shaking their heads no. All right, I don't have specific questions for you. So at this time, we're ready to go for applicant testimony. Sir, if I could ask you please to unmute yourself. And then if you would state and spell your name, please tell me your relationship to the case and then let me swear you in.
My name is David Wu, last name spelled as W-U. I represent Mr. and Mrs. Lee as the applicant. Actually, I'm kind of like the project designer submitting permit for the owner of the property.
Great. May I swear you in, please? Do you swear or affirm your testimony will be true? If so, please say I do.
I do.
Thank you very much. Mr. Wu, what testimony would you like to give?
I concur everything that Sharon said. Mr. and Mrs. Lee bought the site as a recreational use for their family. They own a house in Seattle as an urban area with 3 kids and with all the parents in a single family house up on Beacon Hill. They originally wants to add on to the existing house, but because of the land use requirement, they could not. So they thought they would buy something that the family can use for recreational purpose, like camping, playground kind of area. So they saw this piece of property. They love it. Both of them are medical. Mrs. Lee is a practicing nurse. Mr. Lee was a retired doctor. They are young, but they have 3 young kids that likes to go camping and have fun. So they found this land. The previous owner actually lived on this trailer. It wasn't even a house. It was just basically a trailer with a septic system behind it. They have no reason to keep the trailer, basically. It's just there that they don't want to remove or touch. So all they want to do is to build something that they can store camping material, some dry food that they can use when they are at the site. So that's why they propose to build this detached garage as, like, you know, basically just a storage facility for their own use. So again, they have no reason to live there. It's not like it's a residence house. It's just for the recreational use in the summertime.
Okay. So You described the existing residence as a trailer?
Yeah, it's very old, beat up trailer that the previous owner used as a residence. Of course, you know, it's still usable for bathrooms, sinks, and so forth. They have no reason to get rid of it yet, but, you know, it's not like they are living in there.
Okay. And then, so just to clarify, the trailer does not already have any kind of garage attached to it.
No, there was some storage rooms or storage shed over the lot. Some of them were already collapsed. Actually, I think two of them already destroyed. They are basically trying to rebuild one that is existing there right now, which it is purely for storage use.
Okay. Let me ask you, with regard to the site plan or the description of the proposal in the narrative, it describes the structure would have a man door, a regular human-sized door that would face the residence, and then a vehicle lift door in the front.
Yes.
Tell me what vehicle lift door, what does that mean?
Just so they can park the car in there when they are in using the site.
Just like a garage door.
Yeah, like a garage door, okay. Yes.
All right. And just want to make sure I knew what you meant. Understanding your testimony that they just want to be able to store vehicles, equipment, recreational equipment in the structure, I'm still left with the impression that at 1500 square feet, it's going to be kind of a large structure. And I wondered if you could provide any further testimony justifying the size of the detached garage.
I guess they just picked that size. It's not like a magic calculation. I guess it kind of fit where the road ends. So yeah, no magic to that number.
Okay. I am not familiar with the lake on this property, besides having seen it in other projects. Like, I've never spent time there, and I don't know very much about that lake, Scott Lake. I don't know if it's hydraulically connected to this wetland, and whether or not in heavy rain events, a structure that's only 11 feet away from the wetland would ever be in danger of flooding. Do you have any information about that?
We were there during the winter time. There was no intrusion from any type of water that go into where we propose the garage will be. Again, it's a very pretty good sized lot. So, 7 point some acre.
Yes.
And again, we are trying to be as close to where the existing structure used to be or currently exists. But at the same time, we don't want to intrude too close to the neighbor too, because again, it is a garage structure. It's not appealing that. We don't want to put it too close to the neighbor, because if the land is available, why don't we just put it more appealing to the environment rather than stuck it right next to the neighbor? We did talk to the neighbor. They love what we propose, and it's not like we are intruding anything at this point.
Okay. One other question. Do you have a copy of the staff report with you right now so that you could look at it?
Yes,
I do. Figure with me. I'm looking at the very last page of attachment E. Attachment E is the wetland and stream report prepared by David Evans. And the very last page of that in my packet is called figure 3. It says proposed buffer mitigation plan. You have that, you have that graphic with you?
Mm-hmm.
I understand, as I said before, I can see that the yellow outline of the proposed building is right there at the end of the driveway. And so I understand why it's been proposed where it is. But if you look to the north, there's a large unvegetated area farther to the north by, I don't know, 20 or 30 feet, that the structure could be placed up there and not interfere with any landscaping, and it would still be in a cleared area and it would still be adjacent to the driveway. Did the applicants look at placing the structure up there?
We have no desire to be in any specific location. I think the reason why we picked where we have right now is because there used to be a shed there before, and my intention is not to disrupt too much of the undisturbed area. So that's why we propose to be at that location. Again, it's not like the site is so big that we can put it anywhere we want. Actually, it is possible. Again, my answer to you, Examiner Rice, is whatever the county require us to do, I guess is no problem. We will do exactly what the county asks us to do.
Okay.
As I said, there used to be a structure there before, so
Right. That's
why we located there.
When I am looking at that same image, the last page of attachment E, it just looks like you could achieve, I don't know, 60 feet of setback from the wetland if it was placed in that location instead of where it's currently proposed, which is only an 11-foot setback. And it seems like that would be less impactful to the wetland if it was farther. It does place it farther from the residence, so there would be a greater distance between the trailer and the garage. Would that be a problem for the applicants?
Not at all, no. But as long as it's not close to the neighbor,
yeah.
I guess the neighbor don't want to see anything too visually. Again, they have a big piece of property themselves and we have a big piece of property. So their intention is don't build too close to us. Because it's not like a daily use a structure.
Mm-hmm.
So once it's there, and they don't want to look at a blank wall as per se. If this is environmentally impact, it is more like a visual impact to the neighbor. And we want to be a good neighbor. We don't want to build something that they don't like. So that's why we're trying to stay away from the property line. As long as it's not visually going to impact the neighbor. We love the neighbor, they love this family. So we don't want any problem with them.
All right. I don't have any other specific questions. Is there anything else you'd like to bring to my attention, Mr. Wu?
Well, I've been on this project for 2.5 years or more, I guess. And the owner have been very patient. They like to work with the county. They told me whatever you want them to do, they will do. But it's just that they are not be able to use the facility right now. So they love to, and the neighbor would like to see something that rather than all over the place, they wanted to consolidate in an enclosed environment. So I believe what we propose, Examiner Rice, is to the benefit of what is currently there right now.
Okay. Okay. Let me check with Miss Katie. Do we have, it doesn't look like we have any members of the public.
No, there are none.
Okay, thank you for confirming. Let me go to county staff. Ms. Lumben-Tobing, I don't know, were you able to look at that graphic and do you see the open space I'm talking about?
Yes, I do. Yes, I see that.
I mean, I don't, if the distance between the yellow corner and the wetland that's identified there with the green hash, if that's 11 feet, then it looks like we could get at least 60 or 70 feet from the wetland if the building were moved north of that clump of trees. It could still be set well west of the eastern property boundary. I don't know. It's not really my job to design projects, but in order to find that the criteria are satisfied, I do have to find that it's the least necessary. And it looks to me, just looking at the paper, that yeah. It might be possible to locate it farther from the wetland and provide a greater setback.
Potentially, we haven't explored that. I haven't. It is potential, or he could scooch it further east, away from the. You know, give him a larger setback from the buffer.
It's true.
Where it is, but just scooch it.
It's true. There are trees there, so it would potentially impact some trees that are providing cover for the structure there. But either in that location or if it was moved to the north, you could provide a greater setback to the wetland and plant new trees to shield the blank wall of the structure.
Correct. You could, Examiner Rice, you could potentially, I guess, hold the hearing open and request a revised site plan and mitigation plan, exploring that alternative, and then the staff could look at it and give you comment.
That's exactly what I was thinking, because again, I'm not a designer and I'm not an examiner and I don't have a two scale map that shows me how far I am from neighboring buildings or whatever. Yeah. So I think it just from looking at the images, it looks to me like something with a greater setback could be proposed on site. And so because that's true, it's hard to satisfy the criteria for approval. And so I kind of think I need more information about whether or not it can or can't be provided. Ms. Peebles has her hand raised. Do you have some information? Could I have you introduce yourself, please?
Dawn Peebles, Senior Environmental Health Specialist with Thurston County Public Health and Social Services Department. Name is DawnPeebles.
And do you swear your testimony will be true, Ms. Peebles?
I do.
Thank you. You had a contribution, please.
I just wanted to point out, and I don't know exactly the specific location you were referring to, but the shed with the well is located at the northeast corner of the proposed shop. And so obviously that well could not be moved and there is a 5-foot setback. Mm-hmm. So I just wanted to point that out for the record.
Definitely. And also there must be septic on this property as well. And obviously setbacks from septic would also have to be maintained.
Correct.
I do see the well shed. Actually, the area I was looking at where I thought an alternate location could be is north of the well shed.
Okay.
By the same distance that it's currently southwest of the well shed. Thank you, though, for bringing that to our attention. Anything else from county, Ms. Lumben-Tobing?
I guess if we're asking the applicant to, again, come up with less impact, it could either be a reduction of the 1,500 square foot footprint, moving it further away to the east, or as you suggested, moving it to a location to the north. They could give you the presentation of the options considered and how they derive that would help you meet that criteria.
So that's exactly what I was thinking, Ms. Lumben. So Mr. Wu, this is a little bit of an unusual process. Based on the record in front of me today, it's going to be hard for me to approve the RUE. And rather than issue a decision that denies the RUE, I would rather have more information about whether or not a larger setback from the wetland can be provided on the property. Is that an agreeable process to you? Could I ask you to provide, and you're muted, if you'd like to unmute.
Yes.
And so because this is asking you for more information, I need to know how much time you would like. So what I would do is I would ask you to present another proposal that provides a greater setback from the wetland on the property, and then I would have staff look at it and make an analysis of that. So, and I want to do this as fast as possible because, as you say, the project's already been in development since 2021 and we want to get it out. But I feel like I feel like it's possible to provide a greater setback. And so I'm looking for information about whether or not the applicant could propose a greater setback.
You know, Examiner Rice, again, as I said, we are open to any recommendation from the staff, from yourself. Again, is rather than the back and forth, like I draw it and then submit it, and then you say no, move it another 2 feet, move it another foot. Again, if the county comes back to me and say, okay, why just build it right here? We will basically, that's the permit approved based on exactly what the county recommend us to build it. And that's it. We put it there because of, you know, the neighbor, away from the neighbor. What you're proposing is a little closer to the neighbor, which is not that much closer. It's good enough that we can avoid any visual from the neighbor. So if you approve this based on exact location that the owner can build this garage, then they would build it exactly what the county recommended. What I'm worried is if I go back and do
back and forth, yeah.
Yeah, then it would be back and forth. It's so, already so much time lost.
I understand. I understand. I'm sorry to interrupt you. I just wanted to tell you the time frame that I'm looking at is just in the number of like a few business days. I'm asking for an alternate proposal that, and I'm asking for us an alternate plan that actually says this is how many feet it will be from the wetland. So I can't generate that. That's something that has to be generated by the applicant. If I gave you 3 business days, could you do that? And then we could give staff 2 or 3 business days to respond. That's the kind of turnaround I'm talking about. I'm not talking about another 6 months.
Yeah, no, I what I'm going to do is maybe I will contact Sharon, and it's on AutoCAD, so I can just quickly, even today, after the meeting, I will just do it, PDF email to Sharon. Is that good enough? 60 feet? Then that's it.
Let's see what Ms. Lynn Van Tobing has to offer.
Zoner, I was going to suggest if they reduce the footprint of the proposed garage and move it further away from the wetland in its location, it's likely they would not need to revise the mitigation plan. If they're moving it to a new location, they might need to have their mitigation plan looked at again. I don't know what they're impacting over there. So the easiest path is to reduce the footprint and move it westward of where it is, away from the wetland.
Sure.
Yeah. That way you're not triggering a revision of your wetland mitigation report. Oh, you're on mute. I'm sorry, Mr. Wu, you're on mute.
Reduce it by 2 feet. Right now is, let's see, 50 by 30. So 50 by 28. We can make it skinnier.
Can you move it away from the wetland further?
Yeah, yeah. So the 30 would be, if we go by 28, then we are 2 more feet away from the wetland. The length of the car is about 20, you know, 18 to 20 feet. So 28, I still have some room.
Let me do this. This kind of conversation isn't one that would normally happen in front of me and in front of the other staff members. So let's break this off. I am asking for a revised proposal that provides a greater setback from the wetland. And I don't know that 13 feet is significantly better than 11 feet from the wetland. So I hear what everybody's saying, but I feel like it's possible to provide a greater setback to the wetland. And so I'm looking for a revised proposal. And I also hear Mr. Wu wanting to have this happen as soon as possible. And so I'm happy to hold the record open for 2 business days. Today's, we can say by Friday, I would have a revised proposal on staff's comments. Is that feasible, Mr. Wu and Ms. Lu?
Oh, yeah. As I said, I'm facing the CAD, computer CAD right now. So,
right.
But the problem, again, I'm hearing 2 separate things. One is reduce the footprint. The other is to relocate.
Yep.
The garage. What should I do? I'm open to do anything.
Yes, Ms. Lubantovi.
Mr. Wu, Alexander Rice is giving you 2 options to consider. What I was suggesting, so that you don't trigger having to do another mitigation plan, which is going to require more time, I'm suggesting to reduce the footprint and move it to the east, so that you're moving significantly further away from the wetland edge. That would be my suggestion for you to consider, but I can't design it for you. But you're going to need to give more than 13 feet distance. The examiner is asking for a significant setback from the wetland edge. 11 feet is just too small.
I mean, 240 feet is the standard buffer. There's other space on the property. Those 2 things being true makes it difficult, if not impossible, to approve the RUE that's been requested.
Okay, so you want me to move the structure? I heard if we move it, we have to go through another mitigation, right?
Possibly. You'd have to have your consultant look at it to see if more mitigation or different mitigation is required, because your mitigation report is tailored to what you've proposed. So if you move it, they may have to tailor it again.
So if I reduce it to 25 by 40,
what would be the setback from the buffer edge is the question.
It would be about 15 feet.
And
examiner Rice is saying that that's not significant enough. The standard buffer is, the standard setback is 240 feet.
And I understand this is frustrating for you, Mr. Wu. I can't really advise of what it should be. I can't really tell you what answer I'm looking for. I can tell you that based on what I can see in these images, there's other space on the property that it could be placed, and therefore 11 feet is a big ask. If there were no other space, it could be possible, but there is other space. The negotiation of where it needs to go is something that shouldn't really happen on the record at the hearing, and I apologize.
No problem. But the problem I'm facing is 2 days is not sufficient for David Evans and Associates.
Understood.
Understood.
So that's why I had asked you how much time you think you would like to get a revised proposal submitted.
I can't speak for David Evans and Associates, so I don't know. I can do the site plan change like within 5 minutes, but like what Sharon said, if I move the structure, then it would be a different mitigation. So it's up to them. Like, they are the wetland consultant. So
one thing I can do is I can remand the application without setting a deadline. And then as soon as the information is ready, Ms. Katie can place the continued hearing on the very next available hearing date. And I can tell you right now, Mr. Weeb, we happen not to have much scheduled. So like the next 2 Tuesdays from now, there's a hearing date that's available. So it could come back to hearing very soon if we wanted to do it that way.
Yeah, okay. I will talk to Gray, David Evans Associate, and then have it revised. But I'm still kind of lost, like what I should do to satisfy, because we're talking 240 feet and there's no way I can make 240 feet. So.
Clearly.
The reason why we're the reasonable use exception is to allow you to have a reduction of the 240 foot, but maybe 11 feet is too much. So we'll need to talk outside of the hearing to talk about what possibly could be, you know, acceptable. I can't tell you what the examiner will accept, but we can talk through some scenarios.
Okay. Let me talk to David Evans Associate and have him advise where the 60 feet that Examiner Rice was talking about, and we can move it, reduce it, just to make it work with that 60 feet. How is that?
And I was just estimating with 60 feet too. That's not a specific target. That's just, I was eyeballing by looking at this image. So,
right.
So if that's okay with you, what we'll do is I'm just going to continue the hearing to an unspecified date. I'm going to retain jurisdiction. I'm going to allow you to go get a revised plan and whatever documentation you feel is needed to support its consistency with the criteria for reasonable use approval. And then when you're ready, we can have Miss Katie place it on the very next available hearing day. Obviously, it's not going to be a big hearing, so it can be added on even if there are other items already on the calendar, Miss Katie. So you can be put back on the very next possible hearing date. Miss Lou Van Hoving?
Examiner, I just, does staff receive this and provide comment before that continued hearing?
Yeah, I need to have staff take a look at it before we get back together. Here's another thing we could do is it could just be done in writing and it doesn't need to go to hearing unless the parties feel they want to be able to answer questions I might have. So it could go either way. I'm not trying to make things more confusing and flexible. I'm trying to make them more flexible and easy. But
that's Mr. Wu, do you have a preference to the Examiner Rice is offering that this could all be done on paper? Or do you want to have another virtual meeting like this?
Anything to avoid virtual meeting, please.
Okay.
I have terrible time with virtual meeting.
You've actually done very well. Not a terrible time at all.
First time. Always the first time.
You did great. So let's do that. What we'll do is I will just wait for submittal of information. And obviously, because we don't know if David Evans and Associates can get to you in a specific time frame, I will leave it open. When you have the information, please submit it to staff. Staff will review it, and then it will be submitted to me. I will just maintain jurisdiction. If I have questions that have to be answered, I might be able to issue an order that says, please, this more information. But I may not have any questions.
Thank you. I'll call them right now.
Okay, great. We're going to sign off. I'm going to send Miss Katie an email that memorializes what happened. And I'm going to hold the record open for 2 business days from today for post-hearing comment. Miss Katie, just like we normally would have, instead of trying to wait till the end. Okay. All right, I'm going to make sense of that in an email. I'm going to send you that email right now. If there are questions about the process, please send your questions to Miss Katie and I will answer them.
Okay. Thank you.
Thanks, sorry for the confusion. I appreciate everybody's efforts on this.
Thank you, Examiner Rice.
All right, I will take the matter under advisement. We are adjourned. Thank you.